Would you turn to Luke chapter 9 with me, please? Verse 57. It came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but. Look like we got some but Christians in here. And I mean not the physical anatomy, I'm talking about just the word. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So there we see a call to follow the Lord and be committed to him creates a problem. So I want to look at this morning. I want to look at the conflict of commitment. How many of y'all committed? I'm going to ask you that again when we finish. See if it's true. Because what we see here often is that people have situations that arise in their life that conflict with the way that God is calling us to go. And when we talk about conflict, we're talking about something that becomes a disagreement, between a serious disagreement, something that is incompatible with what you're doing, or contest. And often, you've heard of the word of conflict of interest. I mentioned that before. So my question is simply this. Are there conflicts in our life that cause us that have a problem with our relationship with God? Are there conflicts in our life that causes us to have a conflict with our friendships? Are there conflicts in life that causes us to have it in our relationship with God that might come up with our family? Or are there things that might be a conflict in our relationship with God, like the world, hobbies, sports? I mean, you could buy a lot of things here, because these things become conflicts, struggles. All these words we describe here are describing our fight to be committed, because there are things that come up that create a conflict in a person's life. Now, Webster defines a word here, a conflict between the private interest and the official responsibilities. Now, I want to change that a little bit. So we have a private interest. What would that be? One thing, relationship with God, following him. That's our private interest. And then it becomes our responsibilities of a person in a position of trust. And all of us have been put in a position of trust because our greatest obligation is to trust the Lord. But there are things that seem to come up that cause us to conflict with that. That's even the legal definition too, which goes a little further. Because they're competing desires. They compete against each other. You know, the world competes for our attention. Friends, family, job, a lot of things compete for our attention. They get in the way. You say, oh no, not me, brother, not me, brother. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but they do get in the way because they're a problem. So what do we do when we're asked to do something? Go somewhere. To be a part of something. We make excuses usually. Somebody invites you over for a birthday party or a dinner. So I can't make it. I've got another commitment. Because you've already made it. Legitimately. I mean, you got a legitimate excuse, okay? I understand that. But there's a lot of times that same thing comes up in our relationship with God, just like it did right here in Luke chapter 9. They all wanted to, he called them to follow, but they all had something that was in the way. Let me go first bury my father. I mean, he's putting really a pressure on them that the most urgent thing in our life is to follow the Lord. And don't let anything get in our way between our relationship with God and following Him. Nothing. Our family, friends, job. I mean, all those things are there. There are our responsibilities, but do we have a greater responsibility? That's to follow the Lord. Isn't that true? But I've noticed and observed that Christians can really be in the most uncommitted when it comes to faith and trust in the Lord. The religious, I ain't gonna argue that fact. There's a lot of people that are very religious. They adhere to certain creeds and say certain things. They say they believe them. But putting their whole life into following Jesus is another story. Because you see, they just go to church when it's convenient. They go to Bible study when it's convenient for them. They do all those things not as a priority of life and say, wait a minute, I got to put this aside because I got to do this. Because this is my greatest responsibility, is to follow the Lord. And if going to church is part of that, I'll do that. And so setting aside all these conflicts sometimes can create a problem because we have more important things to do. We think we do anyways. We live in a society that makes everything easy. Nobody's going to argue that fact. I mean, every day they're coming out with new things to make life, supposedly to make life easier for you. But I find a lot of times those things just only make it more complicated. They create conflicts. You know, the internet was supposed to make everything easier for us to find things, to do research, but then people get caught up in it and it becomes a conflict. Because they spend more time on the internet than they do in the Word of God, in their relationship with God. We have convenience stores. We have drive-through banks. I mean, all of these things are there for our convenience, making it easy on us. You'd have to get out of the car and walk in a bank. Well, I tell you what, you take a large deposit, if you ever have, to the teller, they'll probably tell you to come around in the bank. I save my $1 bills. And when I get a bunch of them, I take them. I want to turn them in for bigger bills. They won't take them at the teller because you're blocking everything. So you got to go around. You got to stand in line. You got to wait. How inconvenient. But that's the way we are. You know, we don't like things that conflict with what we want to do. They get in our way. Make things inconvenient. Make things hard. And we're always looking for an easier way. Now, I'm not against doing something an easier way. If somebody is trying to dig a ditch and they got a post hole digger rather than a shovel, good. If they got one of those little things you can put on the back of your tractor, if you got a tractor, then use it because it is much easier. Nobody's going to argue that. So there is a place for those convenience or easy things that come to life. But sometimes we take that too far in our life. So we try to follow everything that society gives. I mean, make it easier. You know, you go to these, Walmart now has these self-checkout lanes. You know what? I like them. Because they don't hardly have enough people there or lines opened up. You can just go through there and do it yourself. So that is convenient. Isn't it? So we all like that. So just remove it out of the way. Now all of a sudden it becomes inconvenient again. I wish Martins would get one of those things. Some of them do have it, not all of them do. Because they're very slow and they got their own problems. But when we look for an easy way, we don't want to be troubled. We don't want something to conflict with our smooth life. We don't want that there because it's something that causes a disagreement within us. It makes us hostile to things. It frustrates us. And the same thing here with these men that were Jesus called to follow them. Lord, I got something else. He said, well, you know, let me go bury my father. He said, well, let the dead bury the dead. Because no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's pretty sobering thoughts because Jesus was not playing any kind of religious games. He was setting out the facts of what he wanted. So this kind of attitude carries over in our life and all of our decisions in our church. We want the church that gives us the easy way. At least most people do. And believe me, there's a lot of them out there. Because you can go to church and you can just sit there and be unknown. You can sit there and twiddle your thumbs, or you can doodle on your paper, pay no attention. You'll never hear anything that really challenges your life. Maybe even puts the fear of God in you. And you're glad about that. Because it makes it convenient. Remember when Paul was preaching to Felix? What did Felix do? He said he trembled. I don't think he sat there and went like this and trembled. I think there was something that alarmed him. Because he preached on righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And that alarmed Felix. He said, well, come back to me at a time that is more convenient. Sound familiar? It's not convenient. This conflicts with what I want to do right now. And he did come back to Paul. I mean, he had Paul back many times and talked to him. So he had a lot of opportunity. But the question is, when he came back and talked to him, he never, because once a man turns away like that, and rejects what somebody is saying about the gospel, that might be the last chance they ever get. You never know. You say, well, I think it would be more convenient when you get older to give yourself to the Lord. That would sound really nice to a whole lot of people. But when you get older, it doesn't necessarily become more convenient. But you're deceiving yourself to think that. So there's a time. God ordains that time and gives that time to you to make a decision. He expects you to make a choice. And to put it off for a more convenient time or season is not very smart, not very wise. And so we have the same thing that goes on in our life because we want the easiest way. We don't want any conflicts in our life. Anything that would come in and cause us to make wrong decisions or go another way. So does following the Lord and living on His terms depend on what's convenient for me? Does following the Lord and being committed to Him depend upon what is easy for me? No conflict. Lord, I'll follow you as long as there's no tribulation, which could be a conflict. No persecution, which could be a conflict. Lord, I'll follow you as long as. You know, when did we get to set the conditions? We start doing those things. So we want it to be easy. To be easy means to achieve without effort, no trouble or effort or no conflict. So easy. No effort. There's a lot of that today everywhere. People don't have to take much effort to get things done because they find an easier way. I guess it's easier to rob a bank than it is to work 40 hours a week and make the money and save it. But it's not going to be very convenient for you when they catch you and put you in jail. It's going to be a very inconvenient thing for you. So it gets down to the point, I think, that a lot of people, as far as Christians are concerned, or professing Christians in this case, they don't want any element of sacrifice because they're self-centered, selfish, lazy, self-loving, independent. They want their own way. That's usually the characteristic of human nature. That's the nature of man. Me, myself, and I. I want it my way. But let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is dealing with the temptation of Jesus, but there's something that comes up in the latter part of this. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So here was a simple fisherman going about their job. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? Then straightway they left their nets and they followed him. I mean, there was no hesitation. There's no second thoughts like in Luke chapter 9. But I got to do something. I got to catch these fish first. I got a business here. No, they just followed right away. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So again, they didn't say, but it's not convenient. This is a conflict for me. I've got my business here. I got to take care of these things. No, they just up and followed the Lord. Now you think about that. Look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came to him and said, good master, what things shall I do that I might have eternal life? Good question. There's a wide open door to talk about the Lord. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which one? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? What is missing? Is there something missing here? Well, all the commandments are not there, no doubt. But Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect or mature, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Uh-oh. Conflict. Money, job, possessions, because this man was very wealthy. He was a rich man. But when the young man heard these things, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I remember correctly, I mean, the Bible tells us a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And if the more you have, the more conflict comes. The better job you have and the more money you make, the greater the conflict to your commitment. Because they get in the way. You say, oh, that will never get in my way. Right, I hear you. Trust me, it will one day. Sometime down the road, it will become a problem. And you will be confronted with the same thing. So he had great possessions. Verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. And then they said unto him, it's easier for a camel. And again he said unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Must be almost impossible to be saved. That's not what he said. But Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then said Peter, and behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, as we read back in Matthew chapter 4. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say that he which hath followed me in this regeneration, when the Son of Man sit on the throne of his glory, he shall also sit with upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone hath forsaken houses, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. So there you go. There's a reward for that. There's an inheritance. And so, again, we see the conflicts that come up in life. And then we have it over in Luke chapter 10 with dear old Martha. See, this affects men and women. And young people, too, because that was a rich young man. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Came to pass that they went and they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or distracted about much serving. So all this serving distracted her. It was conflicting. Okay? And he came to her, him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that thy sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, why art thou careful and troubled about many things? Why are you so weighed down and burdened with all of these things in life? But one thing is needful, Mary, Martha. One thing is very needful. And Mary has chosen the good part which that shall not be taken away from her. So you see the contrast here? I think that's true of a whole lot of people. One thing that will not be taken away from you is the love for the word and to sit there and to pay attention, take notes and don't be distracted. That's valuable, especially in the time in which we live. So again, Martha and Mary, it wasn't easy for Martha to leave her busy schedule. She wanted to go to Jesus, get him to do something about it. You know, sometimes it's not easy for us to maybe to attend church. It's not easy for us to fellowship. It's not easy for us to just give, be at church where we're supposed to be a part of what's going on. Because there are other things that we are involved in that compete for our attention, that distract us. And they pull against us. They cause a fight that we find ourselves in. So our commitment is on one side, and our freedom or so-called liberty is on the other side. And what we're always doing is making the wrong choices. Because we'd rather have our liberty than be with our commitment. We'd rather go the way of the, you know, fun and pleasure and excitement, partying or whatever, than go the way of the Lord. So let's look at the nature of commitment. That's what I want to look at. First thing I want to look at is a picture, if I could. I'm not going to draw a picture. A soldier. Now, we have some people here that have been in the armed services. And so I think they will understand this very good. But a picture of a soldier is a very absolute kind of thing. Because it's like a marriage. You belong to something that you've committed yourself to for life. And when people go into the armed services, what is the first thing they do? Well, you sign up and then they take you to boot camp. And what do they do there? As soon as you enter in, shave your hair off, take your civilian clothes from you, give you a uniform, put you in a barracks, start training you. That's what they do. They'll examine your teeth. They'll check you out physically very well because they want to be sure you're in good health. I know when I joined the Navy, I mean, the first thing they did was they buzzed my hair right off. I didn't like it, but they did it. And then you put in a barracks, and every morning they rolled a trash can down the aisle to wake you up. That was an alarm. I mean, coming in a trash can comes, you know, you hear a trash can rolling down a cement floor. It's not a very fun thing early in the morning, like 6 o'clock. Get up. And then, of course, you got to get up. You got to make your bed, and then they're going to inspect your bed, make sure everything is right. They flip a coin, and if that coin doesn't bounce on the bed, you got to take it apart and put it back together. I mean, that's the way they were back then. They might still be. I don't know. They were very strict because they were going to try to make something out of you. And a lot of people don't make it. And the same thing when you really join up with the Lord. First thing the Lord wants you to do, he wants to take your civilian life away from you. Because no longer are you a civilian or a part of this world. You're in the world. There's no question about that. But you're not a part of the world. You've been separated from the world. Because now you belong to them. You know that old sign, Uncle Sam wants you. He possesses you. You're not your own. I think 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us that. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. You're his now. So guess what? You're in God's army. Ephesians 6 speaks about the church as an army. It tells us about the weapons that we have. So our commitment to Jesus is absolute, and he separates us from everything that's been we've been attached to all of our life. I mean, all the years before I went into the service, I was enjoying my life the way I wanted to. I smoked when I wanted to smoke. I drank when I wanted to drink. I played poker when I wanted to play. I caroused. I did everything I wanted to do. But you can't do that now and get away with it. You got to do things the way they tell you. You got to go to bed the time they tell you to go to bed. You got to get up when they tell you to get up. You got to eat when they say eat. You got to do whatever they say. That's just the way it is. And you know what? You don't really question a lot of that. You just go about it. And so you belong to the Lord. I no longer, as a Christian, I'm supposed to share my life with the world. I'm separate from it. You remember that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 where he says, don't be unequally yoked together. You know what I'm talking about? You know what a yoke is, don't you? Where it connects you to something, where you are attached to it and a part of it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous, communion with light? And what communion hath light with darkness? What agreement hath Christ with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And he goes on. Then he says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate. In other words, there is a line that is drawn in the sand, a boundary line. You cannot go this way anymore. You got to be here. You got to always be at the base. You got to be a part of what God has put you in. You just can't walk out anytime you want to. They give you leave sometimes.